Everyone, go and make yourself a cup of tea, grab a digestive.
Chill out. Biscuit to have with a cup of tea. Go on, while I think.
Just a digestive.
I'm not a tea drinker.
I don't have biscuits with tea, but it would be a digestive. I do like a cup of tea though.
I'm like a chocolate chip.
Mm. Yeah, the chocolate just melts into the tea. No,
that's why you do it quick. You don't go.
Oh, but then it's just like a biscuit, just soggy.
And there's your intro.
You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out and away we go.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Cut to the Race News Roundup Show, the weekly show covering the news, views and opinions from the F1 world, brought to you by the Formula Nerds news team. Usual squad with me today, Jay and Charlotte, how are you guys?
Yeah Dan, I'm doing good, happy to be here again.
Doing good Dan, looking forward to what very underrated Budapest track this weekend as well.
Well, I don't love it, but we'll get to that. We'll talk about Hungary later on. Let's jump in with the news and a bit of breaking news that there's no further action on the Lewis Hamilton, Red Bull, Mercedes, he crashed into me, I'm going to start crying fiasco. The FIA have deemed that there's nothing to give a harsher penalty for, which I think is the right decision. I think the penalty was harsh in the first place, to be honest. What do you guys think?
Yeah, crash itself was a racing incident anyways, and I think for Red Bull to kind of keep this going was a bit much. I understand, because obviously there was a lot of expense and damage to the car, and you know that penalty didn't affect Lewis Hamilton as much as maybe Red Bull would have liked, but I just don't think for what they were trying to get, which I believe was a stop and go penalty or something like that, I just don't feel it's needed. I think let's just get back out in Hungary and you know actually fight on track the way they're supposed to.
I think Red Bull, according to the FIA, Red Bull needed to show them significant and relevant new information. And I'm not quite sure what they could have shown the FIA changed their mind. I mean, as a governing body, they're not going to want to admit that they're wrong. So even if they were able to show some new information, they probably wouldn't have got away with it. So not surprising, and good that it's been swept underneath the carpet and we can look forward to just more duels between Verstappen and Hamilton again.
Yeah, I reckon the rest of the season is going to be very spicy now. There's going to be no love lost between the pair. They're going to be going into the first corner, wheel to wheel every time, and I can't wait for it. Sticking with Lewis Hamilton, he's launched a new charity this week. Jay, do you want to talk a little bit about Mission 44?
Well, there's actually two charities. So there's Mission 44 and there's also his charity Ignite. And that's basically going to use the findings of the Hamilton Commission to push for more diversity in subjects. And apparently he's put in a lot of money, of his own money, into this charity.
20 million, I think, isn't it? Some crazy figure.
Yeah, well, for him, that's probably pocket change.
True.
Yeah. And then alongside that, Mercedes have started their own program. It's called Accelerate 25, and it pledges to have all of its new starters, 25% of them will be from underrepresented backgrounds, so ethnic minority women. And also McLaren are going to be following suit pretty soon also. So looking good.
That's good. We like to see our sport move forward and evolve with the times, and I think this is exactly what Mercedes needed to do to kickstart it within other teams as well. And then hopefully we'll see a much more diverse grid than we currently see. And I'm not just on about drivers, I'm on about team members as well. Sticking with Mercedes, kind of, Mercedes engine cars, Nyck de Vries is rumoured to be joining Williams in 2022. He won the 2019 F2 Championship, but didn't get a seat in F1. Nicholas Latifi did, he came second, but Nyck de Vries didn't. I think that was more about money or lack of from Nyck de Vries' side than anything else. But he's doing quite well in Formula E, he's still quite young. Do you think he deserves the seat?
Quite well, mate. He's leading the Formula E Championship in his second season there. I think he's the demonstration of everything that is wrong with modern motorsport. He won the F2 series, which is the main series into Formula 1. If you win the F2 series, then you've got to be going into Formula 1, not the runner-up, which was obviously the Tifi back in 2019. He's very, very, very quick. I think he's the Mercedes driver as well. I think you've got to give him a chance. He's the only man to win in feeder series, so GP2 / F2, since I think 2013, who's not gone up. So you've seen Gasly go up, Jolyon Palmer's gone up, obviously Schumacher, Russell, Charles Leclerc, they've all graduated to F1, but not De Vries.
But it's also quite interesting because he's almost at like a weird age in the sense of he's 26 years old, so he's not as young as people like, you know, Yuki came in, or even Norris, who's 21, turning 22 later. But then that will do him good, because then he has that experience on his side and he can actually come in with that other racing experience from all those other series. And I think, you know, get it.
Give him a go. Just give him a chance. That's all I ask.
I think we've got a Nick De Vries fanboy in the call in Jay.
Maybe, but it's a shame that he's won F2. He's been given the platform to demonstrate his skill when other people who may be less worthy of going into F1 have managed to
get Nikita Mazepin. Sorry, got a cough.
Oh, what was that?
But that leads in quite nicely to the next rumour we're going to talk about, with Bottas to Alfa Romeo. I can't see that happening, but I don't know what your guys' opinion on that is.
It's good for Alfa Romeo. I mean, if Kimi Raikkonen does leave at the end of the season, Bottas can be that Finn with a bucket of experience to bring into the team, especially like you said, Dan, new regulations. But if you're Bottas, do you really want to go to Alfa Romeo? If you're Bottas, where can you go if you don't get that Mercedes seat? There's a big old cluster of drivers in and around Formula One, and there's very, very few seats. So it might be his only option then.
I don't know. I can't see Kimi leaving. I feel like Kimi's going to do a Kimi and just stay around, and then the other seat's Ferrari reserve. I just can't see the seat being open.
Well, if Kimi does stick around, then surely that means Bottas is going to go rallying next year or something, doesn't it?
I think Bottas will be at Mercedes or Williams next year. I can't see him going Alfa Romeo or anywhere else for that matter.
Get Nick De Vries a seat. Bottas had long enough. Get De Vries in that seat.
How do I kick Jay off the Zoom call? No, I'm joking. There's a sprint race that's been confirmed for Monza. Everyone kind of knew it was going to be there anyway, but it's been confirmed 100%. It's now going to be at the Italian Grand Prix. Excited for that? It was pretty good in Silverstone.
Yeah, I felt a bit indifferent about the sprint race. I still can't really work it out. Like, it didn't change that much. I mean, obviously, Alonso did amazing from 11th to 5th on, like, the opening lap. But sprint race in general, I'm not sure. I'm quite looking forward for the Hungarian Grand Prix again to go back to the normal layout and, you know, the normal schedule and kind of see how I feel now after the British Grand Prix. But I think Monza will be a good one. It's a high-speed circuit. So, yeah, there might be some good battles, hopefully.
Do you know what, guys? I've been doing a lot of thinking since Silverstone. I've had a lot to ponder and reflect. And then the first thing I thought was, humans went to the moon. Are they not the aliens? And then also about the sprint racing as well. And I thought, I have a way on how to improve sprint racing. So I've been doing a lot of thinking. Yeah, right, hear me out. Yeah, the Dragon's Den. I'll pitch it to you. And then you can tell me if you're in or out. So, you know, this year it was on a Friday. So quali was on a Friday, sprint race on a Saturday. Why don't you put sprint racing on a Friday, have it, and then it doesn't affect the weekend. So you go practice one Friday morning, let the teams get acclimatized and all that good stuff. Friday evening, sprint race. And then Saturday morning, practice two, and then normal qualifying Saturday afternoon to the grid for Sunday. Perfect. And then you don't get any of this debacle where, like, oh, Hamilton's on pole when Verstappen gets past him, and then Verstappen pole. It's just like a separate little sideshow that's separate to the weekend, if that makes sense. I know you guys are going to be saying, well, how do you set the grid for the sprint race? Because it's on a Friday and it's not on a Saturday. You take the top 10 from the previous race, the previous Grand Prix, you reverse the order, or you can keep it in the same order if you want, and then you give points to the top five, five down one, first gets five, fifth gets 1 point. Boom.
So you're saying they'd get, like, a few points?
Extra points. So not only, say, let's say there was one Hungary, hypothetically, Yuki Tsunoda would start on pole, Hamilton would start 10th, and the top 10 battle it out. So not only do you get points for coming in the top 10, you also qualify for the sprint race the next weekend, or the next race week. And then you don't get any of that debacle where, oh, like, if you're, like, you're not on pole because you've come first in quali, and it adds a bit more meaning to it.
I mean, I'm not sure me or Charlotte are going to decide whether we like this or not. If you do like it and you're listening along, let us know on Facebook. Back Jay up or shut Jay down, one of the two.
Back me up. I'm going to go to Stefano.
Yeah, go and talk to Domenicali and be like, I've got an idea. Pitch it to him. And if you get it in there, fair play, well done. I take back any bad word I ever said.
I can't believe you guys aren't as enthusiastic about it as I am. But when I prove you guys wrong, in a couple of years' time, when that's in Formula One, we'll see who's laughing. Anyway, next topic, Ben.
Moving on, we have Alex Albon being linked with a 2022 Formula E seat with Nissan EDAMS. He was actually signed for that team in 2019 before he got the Toro Rosso call up. Do you think we'll ever see him in F1 again? I mean, he's not doing great in DTM. He's kind of doing average in there. Perez is doing well in the Red Bull seat. I can't see him coming back. I really can't.
If he does come back, I don't think it's going to be the Red Bull seat, unfortunately. You know, Sergio Perez has got the seat for just this year, but it's looking good for next year as well, at least. And then he can't really go back to AlphaTauri. I feel like there's not much space. Unless Pierre Gasly goes somewhere, they stick him in. But then would they want to put, you know, a new up-and-coming driver in the Red Bull program? So I think if he does go to Formula E, I think that'd be nice. And at least you can see him back racing more regularly. It's a shame. I really like Alex Albon. So, yeah, hard to say.
Formula One and the whole driver market is like Domino's, and I don't mean the pizza company, I mean the actual game, because you have Alex Albon is so dependent on, I think, Gasly. I think if Gasly leaves and goes to probably Alpine, which is the likely rumour, then Albon will stop back at AlphaTauri. But if Gasly has to stay because Ocon's just signed a long term deal, Gasly doesn't leave, there's no in for Albon back at AlphaTauri. So it's all swings and roundabouts. Can I see him again anytime soon? Probably not, unless maybe one of the other teams in the back of the grid pick him up, maybe an Alfa Romeo. It's tough for Alex because he didn't have that long to prove himself, but I guess that's the ruthless nature of modern Formula 1.
I mean, he had a season and a half.
A season and a half, but like, to be grounded, he had, what, a year and a half at Red Bull. I know he had quite a long, bit longer than Gasly, but since he got kicked out of Red Bull, he was at the Formula 1 altogether. At least Gasly got to redeem himself at AlphaTauri. I would have liked to see Albon against Gasly to see just how well he fared, because he's done really well at Toro Rosso against Kvyat back in the day, so it would have been good to see him in the team again to see if he was actually worth the time.
I agree.
But Sonoda's Japanese and, you know, Honda money.
Yeah, it's a tough sport. It's a tough sport, especially the Red Bull program. I've said it before. It makes you or breaks you. And it seems to have broken Albon at this point. You know, he's not very old either, but maybe his F1 career is over. Circuit of the Americas, or COTA, as Charlotte found out it was called just before we started recording, have put on their website that people can now apply for tickets should there be a second race at COTA. That's got to be a hint, doesn't it? Surely they wouldn't do that if there hadn't been very positive talks that have taken place.
No, you know what? I don't want to see two races on another circuit, and I can't stand it, if I'm honest. I mean, Austria wasn't too bad, but when you think about it, how many amazing circuits are there on this planet, and they want to put two at the same? You could go COTA, and then you could go Indianapolis, because that's a grade one circuit, I'm pretty sure. Double header, there you go. There's all these amazing facilities. Why are we so intrigued by the fact that we want to go to two circuits back to back? You know what I mean?
It's logistically easy, isn't it? That's why.
Yeah, but really and truly, if there was no pandemic, there wouldn't be no logistics. Yeah. Either, I think you scrap a race. I mean, obviously, this will be logistics. Logistics is still a fair thing, but everyone wouldn't care as much. European races, there's so many good European races. If you're going to cancel Japan, which is probably going to happen, that's the strong rumour. Go to Korea, go to India. Hey, to Fuji, that's still in Japan. That's a bit more on the countryside. There's all these amazing places that F1 could go to, but no, they just want to go to the same circuit. Why? Why? I don't want to see the same race back to back. I want to see something different.
If you've ever listened to this podcast before, you'll know how much Jay loves circuits and just listing them. He just hates going to the same circuit twice. I love it. It's brilliant. Anyway, let's move on. Alpine, what's happening there?
Well, I think they've started what's going to be another domino effect of stopping their development for this year.
That's the buzzword. That's the buzzword for the podcast today. Dominoes.
Dominoes, yeah. Write it down. D-O-M-I-N-O-E. Write that one down, people. Yeah, I think they're going to stop. Well, I mean, they have stopped development, and I think it's going to be the first of many teams to stop. I know it has obviously stopped at the start of the year, but especially the midfield teams now, they've not really got anything to pay for. they're probably going to put all their eggs in next year's basket, other than maybe Ferrari, McLaren, obviously Red Mercedes. So it's going to be a trend that's going to be probably up and coming, and we'll probably see it a lot over the summer into the autumn.
I think it's a good idea, though, to focus on next year. I mean, they're not really in the fight for P3 in the Constructors' Championship compared to last year. So I think it's a good step in the sense of focus on 2022, be a bit more competitive, and, hope for the best.
Nick, Alpine, I think there was a lot of hype around them before the season started, and it's been cool to see Fernando back, and their livery is beautiful, but other than that, I can't really say much about them.
Yeah, they've been pretty bang average, haven't they? Let's move into today, and we're recording this Thursday afternoon, so the press conferences have happened today. I'm just going to read the pairings out, see if there's any that stand out. You've got Lance Stroll with Charles Leclerc, Ocon with Sainz, Gasly with Mazepin, Raikkonen with Ricciardo, Alonso with Vettel, Giovinazzi with Schumacher, Tsunoda with Russell, Perez with Latifi, Norris with Verstappen, and the Mercedes duo of Bottas and Hamilton. Anything stand out there?
Max and Lando, definitely. They're quite good friends. Yeah, I think it'd just be a bit of fun. There'll probably be a bit of banter between them, but otherwise there, I'll say there's anything very spicy going on there, or, you know, any tensions. Except, as well, actually, I think, has Horner and Toto Wolff been split apart as well?
They have. So the team principals conferences has got Fred Vasseur, Mattia Binotto and Christian Horner in one, and Gunter Steiner, Toto Wolff and Mario Isola, our friend from Pirelli, in the other. So yes, they are apart.
I was just thinking as well, because I looked at the schedule earlier, and before Hamilton and Bottas end is Verstappen and Lando. So do you think, right, that like Verstappen's leaving the press room and Hamilton's entering, and there's just a really weird, awkward moment? To be fair though, apparently they did call between Silverstone and Budapest, and they spoke it out, and they sort of, there was respect there.
I mean, Max has said in the media pen today, he said that he still doesn't think Lewis should have celebrated the way Lewis celebrated after causing that incident. I mean, he's salty, is what he is. He's lost 25 championship points.
And that's the thing, that I really do think if the shoe was on the other foot, I think Max would have been celebrating as much as Lewis was.
100%.
And it was a home race for Lewis as well, so that hyped him up even more. I understand why he was upset, but I don't think it's that bad. I think we all need to just move on now and leave.
As someone that paid a decent amount of money to go to Silverstone, if Lewis had won and then just gone, oh, that was, yeah, great win, shame about Max, and just been really boring, I would have been like, what? I'm not even the biggest Lewis fan, but it was great to see.
Exactly, I totally agree. It was amazing when we were there. I loved it. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah, all right, guys, just rub it in my face. I didn't go.
Sorry, you went in 2013, you've told us many times.
I did, but Lewis didn't win that race.
Oh, did he not?
No, it was actually Rosberg that won that race. So
he was there, though.
Let's revisit the bold predictions that we made as to a piece of news that we thought was going to break between our last recording and now. Charlotte, what was yours?
I'm just not even surprised that it didn't come true, because this, you really put us on the spot, Dan, you really did. Well, correct me if I am wrong, but I think my prediction was that Alonso's future or something like that was going to be decided.
Yep, and was his future decided?
No, but maybe in a couple of weeks' time.
I do want to put something in the ring.
Go on.
So Alonso's contract was 1 year, option to extend. And apparently Alpine have taken him up on that option to extend. So... Ooh. Half point? A half point?
Maybe.
I'll take that half.
Maybe. Jay, what was yours?
I mean, mine's just completely irrelevant. I did say that one of the flyaways would be cancelled and replaced by a European race, but not yet, but probably soon.
Yeah, soon. It will happen.
And if they put Kota on there, I'll be fuming.
I can't wait for that. That'd be brilliant, just for your reaction. I spent about 20 minutes thinking of my prediction, but due to the power of editing, it looked like I thought of it instantly last week, so I'm just going to out myself here. I said that Red Bull would take further action against Mercedes for the Max Verstappen incident. And what have Red Bull done? Taken further action against Mercedes for the Max Verstappen incident. Yes!
I mean,
no, they lost it, but not the point.
you introduced that as a bold prediction, and knowing how much of a salty guy Christian Horner can be, was it bold?
Ooh. You let me have it. You let me have it. You can't change your mind now.
I'll let you have it. I'm looking forward to your weekend predictions for Hungary, actually, Dan.
Yes, let's move on to those. Jay, what is your bold prediction that will happen during the Hungarian Grand Prix?
Well, I was going to say Ferrari front row. Yeah, you know, actually, yeah. Ferrari front, because they were so good in Monaco and it's very similar to Hungary.
Bold.
Ferrari on the front row. Maybe probably Charlie, but don't we like Carlos?
Yeah, Carlos is very underrated. My prediction for the Hungarian Grand Prix weekend is that Valtteri Bottas will qualify on pole, but he won't win the race. That is my bold prediction for the weekend.
Has Bottas ever gone well in Hungary?
It's not one of his strongest tracks. I have faith that he can qualify on pole on Saturday. However, Lewis is incredibly strong at the Hungaroring, however you say it.
He's a tank.
Therefore, I think Bottas will qualify on pole. She's done a lot of simulator work this week, but I reckon Lewis will win the race. Or anyone. That's not part of the prediction.
Mate, I've done a lot of simulator work. It doesn't mean I'm going to start on pole.
You're also not Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah, I could be better. No, I'm joking. But Bottas is a good driver. He's a good driver, Bottas.
All right, Charlotte, what is your bold prediction?
My bold prediction, I think, is going to be slated, and I don't think it's going to be that bold. But I'm going to say Lando Norris, easy P4 finish.
No, that doesn't count.
Okay, well, let me think of another one.
That doesn't count. Actually, no, P4. P4, I'll give to you.
Top four in qualifying and top four in the race, I'll let you have.
If you said P5, I'd have been a bit like, well, that's a bit like saying I want to on the podium. But yeah, no, P4. I think we can allow P4.
Do you want to extend it to qualifying as well? Mm-hmm. How much faith do you have in your favourite driver?
Why did you say it like that?
Because you don't have faith in him, clearly.
I do, but I'm going to think of something more bold. I think he can easily do it, but...
No, I think we take that. P4, because P4 is quite hard.
Okay.
Well, unless he's both Mercedes and both Red Bulls, then that would be P5. Okay. So yeah, he's going to beat one of them.
I think that says how good Lando been that we expect to come top five.
It depends how well Perez can bounce back off a very, very disappointing Silverstone weekend. That was quite shocking, really, from Perez.
It was, but I guess he got to the rough of the smooth. He's new at the team. He's going to have bad races.
That's true. I expected someone to say Lewis and Max crash. No one said it.
I'm saving that, and I'm going to say it now. Some of you will steal it. I'm looking for Zandvoort. At Zandvoort, they're going to crash. It's going to be like
a reversal. I do not want that to happen. Or you think Max is going to crash into Lewis?
So Lewis is Zandvoort. It's going to be like a nice poetic story. Like, do you remember Prost took out Senna 1 year, and Senna did it back to Prost the next year? It's going to be like that. Lewis took out Max at Silverstone. Max is going to do the same to him at Zandvoort, and it's going to be beautiful, and Netflix is going to love it, and we'll be talking to our grandkids about it.
Well, I don't think Lewis took out Max it's a racing incident, okay?
I have to agree.
Also, this is not a bold prediction, but I'm just going to put it out there to, you know, manifest it. I hope George Russell Q3 again. That'd be nice. I just want to have it happen.
It's George Russell.
Hungry, it's a difficult track.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone didn't expect it for Silverstone, and guess what? He did.
He did well, but Hungary's so technical. I don't think that Williams has got the technicalities.
It can be quite windy as well.
Nice.
And it's really hot.
No, but the Williams is bad with wind. That's why I said it.
I know, just made me laugh the way you said it.
Just putting ideas out there, you know. Any
more? Make a podium. Let's throw out there.
That is all we've got time for on this week's show. Thank you guys for coming. Jay, enjoy Hungary. We'll speak to you at some point soon.
Yep, but I will not be returning if I see Kota on that calendar.
Jay's going on strike if he sees Kota. Charlotte, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dan. Catch you guys later.
Thanks for listening. See you all next week.